Welcome to another My Tunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley. Another podcast in our series of guests choosing their tunes and telling us a little bit about what they do. And today, in the absence of road racing this year on the Isle of Man, we're going to go road racing virtually.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of My Tunes on Manx Radio. And my guest this time around really should have been a lot busier in the past few weeks than he has, because he is one of the movers and shakers in the Southern Hundred, as well as an awful lot else. Phil Edge, welcome to My Tunes. It's not been easy, has it?
No, it hasn't, Mark, and thank you very much for inviting me.
How often hasn't the Southern Hundred been run?
It's only the second time. First time was 2001, when the foot and mouth crisis postponed everything.
Yes.
And so it's the second time.
Yeah, it's a real blow. I mean, because, you know, it's not like you have lots of races down there. I mean, you do have the pre and the post normally gone.
Yes.
Gone. Yeah. And then the actual Southern Hundred event gone. So it's all focusing on next year, I should say.
Yes. We're very fortunate that last week we ran a virtual Southern Hundred, which was very successful via internet and kept us busy that way with race nights and the past commentaries, which you very kindly dug up for us and allowed us to use. Plus, Greenlight provided lots of ex-races for us, past races to put on. And they also did a live chat show for us on the Friday, so we did an extra day in race week rather than it was 5 days instead of four.
We'll talk a lot more about the Southern Hundred later in the week, because you've got a lot more to tell me. But let's go back to you, little chap, and just at the end of the Second World War, is that right, Phil?
Yes.
I'm not going to tell your age, but I know it's just around about that time. And Hereford.
Yes.
Is the home where you were, the city where you were born.
Yes, a small city, I imagine. It's expanded like everywhere else these days, but very agricultural and not a lot of engineering, mainly farms. And the biggest employer was Bulmer Cider.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, Hereford, you'd have been swept up by the SAS because they recruit from there, you see. You'd have been in there like a shot.
Oh, more than likely over there, yeah. At Credden Hill, where they're still based.
What was the music playing in your house when you were growing up?
Can't really remember. It wasn't in the house very much. It was
right
out in the fields day and night, and sort of come in when the lights went, you know, went dark. And music was, I suppose, general, whatever was on the radio, yeah. You know, played on the radio at the time. Televisions were very rare, I think. It's a long street I lived on. I think there was one television.
Wow.
That somebody had that a lad I used to go with, play with as such, and his father was in the RAF, and they managed a television. And, of course, everybody went there to watch the coronation in 1953.
Yeah, that would have been huge.
That was, yes. So that's,
absolutely
that, yeah.
Huge. So, you know, motorcycles, you're riding a push bike as a young lad, and suddenly you saw the light. You went for something with a motor.
Yes. I had a half a day off school on my 16th birthday from a motorcycle test. Passed it first time, and that was it. Engine in the between the frame and never look back.
Never look back. And first encounter with competitive racing, you weren't necessarily racing, but which were the races you went to first?
One of the first ones I remember was Oliver's Mountain, the early 50s, about 1954. Oliver's Mountain Scarborough, which is the only road race circuit in England. And I remember vividly seeing Jeff Duke there riding a Gilera. And I suppose, you know, that sort of the sights and the sound of that was... It became ingrained in me.
Well, we'll get you over to the Isle of Man, how that happened, tomorrow. But let's have your first piece of music. What's it going to be, Phil?
First piece of music is Shirley Bassey and Big Spender.
Any particular reason for this?
Yes, always admired, my parents admired, I think, Shirley Bassey. Remember going to see her about 1971, the Apollo in Manchester. And I've never felt so underdressed in my life. I had a suit on like most people wore in those days. But the first 10 rows at least, every gentleman in the audience a dress suit and bow tie, and
wow,
many with, you know, roses and flowers to throw at her.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every man I see. Hey, big spender, spend a little time with me. Wouldn't you like to have fun, fun, fun? How's about a few laughs, laughs? I could show you a good time. Let me show you a good time. The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every man I see. Hey, big spender. Hey, big spender. Hey, big spender. Spend a little time with.
My Tunes it is on Manx Radio. And my guest all this week, Phil Edge. Give us your full title down at the Southern 100, Phil.
Press and Media Liaison Officer.
Press pause for this year. Next year's going to be better than ever. We've got a few bits of ground to cover before we get you over to the Isle of Man. Move to Manchester. Head boy at school.
Yes, I might have that. I don't know.
All downhill from there, wasn't it?
I had about 3 months to do when my parents moved to Manchester in 1959. And so I had to complete the schooling, and I'd been used to a all-boys secondary modern school. And I remember saying to my father, if it's a mixed school, I'm coming home at lunchtime. And just ended up staying an extra 2.5 years, some of the exams and everything. And I learned more in those 2.5 years than I had done the rest of the time.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Now, when did you meet Dennis Parkinson? Because he was a Manx Grand Prix winner, wasn't he?
Yes, he won five times.
Yeah, and you met up with him.
And that was I moved to Yorkshire in 1968.
Right.
With the company I was working with, and got to know him through other clubs. He was secretary of the Wakefield Club, and heavily involved in scrambling motocross, as it's called today. And I was involved with the Batley Club, which is a road racing club. And we sort of got together, and eventually he asked me would I join him to help him organise the scrambles and things that he did, and also with ITV, with the scrambles that he used to put on.
I remember them on the telly, yeah.
On World of Sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of
thing.
So
yeah.
I was sort of his PA in a way. I used to open up the petrol station first thing in the morning at 6 o'clock, and then weekends we'd be doing whatever else was necessary and out racing.
Yeah. Was racing something that you were going to have a go at, or was it never really for you?
No, I could never sort of afford it, so I got all involved on the organisation side, initially marshalling, and then got involved with various road racing clubs and officiating.
Let's get you to the Isle of Man. How did that happen?
My parents said they'd bring me when I was old enough. So 1962, I made the decision to bring myself.
Because they hadn't done it.
No. And I came for the TT, came back for the Manx, fell in love with the Manx Grand Prix, and I still prefer the Manx to the TT to this day.
Yeah, I'm going to quiz you on that tomorrow.
And I got brought my parents over in 63. And they just had 1 year. They came 1 year, and then, and I've been every year since, and then eventually, I made any excuse to come over to the island. I decided to cut the middleman out and move over in the 80s.
It was in the 80s you came over, right? Okay.
Moved over, yes.
And getting connected with the Southern 100, did that come later?
Yes, went down to see the Sultan when that one Sultan moved over. I couldn't, one of these times you couldn't get over because of coming to the other two. And eventually got involved, and I was asked in 1994 to join the committee to help them organise their 40th anniversary in 1995.
Well, loads more to come on that. Let's have our second musical choice. What have you got for us today?
Today it's Frank Sinatra and My Way, all-time standard. Again, I've enjoyed Frank Sinatra's music, still do.
Now, you saw Shirley Bassey. Did you ever get to see Frank?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. But love watching all the documentaries on him on television, even now, and anything, and listening to his music.
Here he is, Frank Sinatra.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. Laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow.
My Tunes on Manx Radio with Phil Edge. All this week, we're talking motorbikes, we're talking media, and we're talking about some great music as well. Phil, before we get on to your third record, long before we get on to that, you mentioned yesterday you prefer the Manx Grand Prix to the TT, and that happened pretty much from the get-go. Why is that?
Well, they're both well-organised meetings, but the atmosphere at the Manx seems a little bit more relaxed. They help out the riders as much as they can within the rules of the game, and the riders are saving up all year round. To even when I first came over, that you know, to every penny they get to ride in the Manx. At the end of the day, the only one, if they win a replica, which is the size of a 10-pence piece, they're over the moon. It's like they've won a major championship. They're all out to help each other, no matter the competitors on the once the race starts. But they won't see any others stuck. Whereas the TT became too professional in a way. I know it is professionally, but it doesn't have the same atmosphere to me. And
I think I'm right in saying the Manx Grand Prix, there is no prize money.
No money at all, no.
It's purely for the love of the sport.
But yes, yes.
And will stay like that, do you think?
I think so, as long as it is running. You know, they're coming up to the centenary in 2 years' time, not 2023, so hopefully it will survive till then and obviously onwards.
Let us focus now on the Southern 100 races, the friendly races. Anybody who's even just passed by that Colas Belaun circuit. Is it still Colas, by the way? Just checking.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Get the sponsor in. keep the money coming. But we'll tell you, friendly races, it's a huge title. But it's true, isn't it?
Yes. We seem to have got ourselves in a niche that way, which we're very proud of. Where, again, we try and help everybody. Riders, helpers, their assistants. Give them the best experience they can have. Well, the racing here, it costs them a lot of money to come over, and they enjoy the experience. We had a meet the other day with a chat with Dean Harrison. He was saying that even the little tea vouchers that all the competitors get is not much for a mug of tea, but it's just something to, you know, keep. You know, it helps. It's the little things like that that have made the meeting so special.
Well, I've enjoyed every year. I've worked on it for 13 years, like something like that. Nothing like you, but I've enjoyed every single one. And when I popped to Ireland, there's sort of a spirit about the Irish short circuit racing and the Southern 100. They're definitely in that same ballpark. The passion is there.
Yes, yes, particularly in Ireland. It's a culture, way of life over there. Not quite as popular as it was, unfortunately, for whatever reasons, financial, but it's a unique experience, and I think that's why a lot of Irish riders enjoy coming over to the Southern.
You work incredibly hard on it with all the media and the liaison. A gentleman who people know from telly, if they know nothing about road racing, they know the name Guy Martin, and he took a shine to the Southern 100. He really did, didn't he?
Yes, yes. Again, I think his atmosphere, and he was catered for in his sort of unique way. He didn't like a lot of publicity as such. He certainly didn't like all the razzmatazz of the TT, and he'd do anything to hide there. And he was the same at other meetings he went to. Scarborough, he liked that because he was allowed to not hide away, but, you know, keep himself to himself and just come out when necessary. And it was the same at the Southern, and he really enjoyed it. In fact, he used to say the TT was the warm-up for the Southern 100.
Oh, praise. Praise indeed. Now, so far, we've had Shirley Bassey, who you saw where you weren't dressed properly. Never mind. Frank Sinatra, who you never got to see. But I'm reckoning that this lot you've seen several times.
Yes, yes, I've seen the Quo.
Who have we got? Ah, come on then. Who have we got? Who have we got? Status Quo.
Status Quo, yes, yes.
Yeah. And any particular reason for choosing them?
Again, it's just something, the type of music I like, you know, and I remember seeing them at the Bowl years ago, and the last time was 2 or 3 years ago, the last when they were at the Villa.
It's good that you've chosen this, because only a couple of weeks ago we were celebrating 35 years since Live Aid, and this is the song that kicked the whole thing off. Here they are, Status Quo, rocking all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
My Tunes on Manx Radio. We're road racing this week, even though we haven't been this year, because my guest is none other than Phil Edge, who looks after an awful lot down at the Southern Hundred. But you're also a great patron of the arts, Phil, because every time, well, nearly every time I go to the Gaiety, or if I'm doing something, mucking around on stage, I see, oh, there's Phil. You love the theatre, sir.
Yes, I always have done. It's very, very fortunate with the Gaiety over here, and the acts that are on, mainly the amateur ones. And you keep seeing a show and thinking, you know, it can't get any better. But they do. Everyone seems to improve every show, and it's such a fantastic atmosphere in there. It's a nice size.
I'm delighted they managed to get the thing open again before October, because it was going to be October, but we've got Calendar Girls coming in August.
Yes, I've got the tickets already.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes.
There was a Matcham Theatre somewhere in your past as well.
Yes, my parents were born in Nantwich. And down in Cheshire, and in Crewe, the next town to it, is the Lyceum Theatre, and that was a Matcham Theatre. And I used to go there. They had a rep company, which were there, say, 6-8 months of the year. And they would be, you got to know them, we're going regularly. And they'd be performing one play or whatever it was, show, and rehearsing then for the next one. So it was a continuous one, got to know them very well. I suppose that's how I first fell in love, you know, really got into the theatre.
Let's go back to racing. Let's go back to a very difficult job that you do, because media means, yes, it's great, here it comes, it's good, but it also means you have to handle some terribly sad and difficult things in road racing. It goes with the territory. How do you do that?
Oh, hopefully with professionalism, over years of experience gained through various people. You've got to be honest with the media. Sometimes you don't tell them a lot, but you tell them sufficient to keep them happy, so they're not sort of trying to go alternative ways to find that information. And you learn to trust various people and what you can tell them and what you can't. And I think they also respect, you build a mutual respect up.
Yeah.
And you have to put the sad news out, and you do your best to cover it as best you can, and hopefully the media, when they receive it, they deal with it correctly as well.
Has social media made life harder or easier?
Some ways harder, with instances like, you know, if you get a serious incident, you know, there are those that want to put it out, you know, in milliseconds after it's happened. There's no way you can overcome that, really. You've just got to be there to counteract it if it's false information.
On the positive side, as a promotional tool, it's invaluable, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. It's that side of it for publicity is good, which helps also advertisers, which and sponsors, and in the riders' sponsors and teams. It's out there, all, and it does, that is helpful.
I was delighted to be given a recording, one of the very first broadcasts. It was a test broadcast for Manx Radio. Everyone thinks it started with the TT, but it was actually some work on the Southern Hundred that we found the tapes of. I know I gave them to you for your club archives. That was a remarkable find, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Going back to our virtual Southern Hundred last week, with the help of Chris Sully, the managing director, and programme control Alex Brindley, we've set up a Southern Hundred podcast on Manx Radio, and that was one of the first items on. We did four commentaries, and that one from 1964 was on there. It's about 2 hours long altogether.
The quality was amazing.
Well, sir.
Absolutely amazing. The future for the Southern Hundred. Discuss. Where's it going? Is it going to get bigger, smaller, different? What's going to happen?
I think it will continue as we are now, a well-run meeting, well-liked by the competitors and the fans as well, and hopefully people will come back next year in vast numbers. I think it will take a little bit of building up because people's circumstances and still worrying about the COVID situation, but I'm sure we will bounce back to our status we're at the moment.
Well, here's to it, and I know with your guiding hand, it will flourish. It will be the friendly races once more next summer. Phil, thank you ever so much. Been a cracking week. Let's have a massive track to finish off. Who have we got?
Queen, another fantastic act, and it's one of our anthems at our 700 prize presentations, and it's We Have the Champions.
Phil Edge, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shouts and kicks in my face, but I've come through.
I need to go on.
And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
Wonderful choice, Queen, one of two Live Aid classics, chosen for us by my MyTunes guest this week, Phil Edge. I'm Mark Tiley. There'll be more MyTunes podcasts here at manxradio.com coming very soon.